Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 275, part 1, Mount 4. Today is Friday, January 11th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Mount 4. Mount 4 is the title of this message. Sunday, we ministered on Matthew 5 and 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not moan and groan, but mourn. Tonight, then, let's go on to Matthew 5 and 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Doesn't sound like it'd be too popular, does it? Oh no, you say, the Beatitude won't be too popular. The Christian is very doubtful on this. And as I watched TV tonight, and I saw what was going on between the TV ministries, oh, how that grieves my heart. We should be mourning over one another, and we should be covering one another's sin, if you will. We all are sinners, saved by grace. We should be, love, it says, covers a multitude of sins. Yet, we're seeing all this publicized and openly fighting one another, and I thought, well, now this message doesn't fit in. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, to the Christian, it's even doubtful, but to the world, it has no appeal at all. Let me ask, how many of you on the radio, you sitting here tonight, learn from that message, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Or for that matter, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Or blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Know how important it is right now to go back to hear what Jesus said from the Mount. Not very popular preaching right now, and I think for the last 15 years we really haven't heard what Jesus has to say about the gospel message. So anyway, let's go on tonight, and expect to learn something from Matthew 5 and 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now I know that meekness is not looked upon as an asset. Maybe you're saying right now as you're listening on the radio, what will it give in my spiritual bank? What will I get from it? In other words, it's considered a liability. It doesn't pay any interest. How can the meek be blessed? Why should we congratulate them? I mean, we should despise them. Meeking and sneaking and peeking around like a mouse, trying to get away from the cat, apologizing for their very existence. They should be pitied, people think. No way should they be looked upon as having come into a possession of a wonderful treasure. See, we associate meekness with weakness, don't we? But the world doesn't believe this at all. In fact, he believes there is no group that is less likely to inherit the earth than the meek. Oh yes, he believes they'll go to heaven. Heaven will be full, he says, of meek people. But they will never inherit the earth. He believes in survival for the fittest, the aggressive, and we're even seeing that in the Christian world right now. The hard-headed, bull-haircut crowd, the bare-fisted, the self-assertive man. So then what chance has the meek in the world where it seems to be evident that the strong and the fast talker will be successful? If I've learned one thing in being here this 8 years in the ghetto, I have learned what the Sermon on the Mount in part means. Blessed are the meek. Now you'll be here for 7 years, 8 years, going on 9. You'll learn that the only way that you can exist is to have that sort of an inward meekness. But oh, it sounds so dumb. I mean, would the North Stars print that on their jerseys? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Or on the back of a karate shirt? Would it? Would it look good on there? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How out of place, they'd say. How out of place it would be on the police cars printed on the side. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But from the mount, Jesus thunders, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Heaven and earth, he says, may pass away, but my word will not pass away. It stands. Somehow, if you've gone through the light and the searching light of the Holy Spirit, Pastor, are you hearing this on the radio? If you've gone, you here tonight, if you've gone through the searching power of the Holy Ghost, you will learn that Sermon on the Mount is speaking and speaking to us in this day and age in an ever-growing, knowing, it's got to be true message. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not pass away. It will stand. Now we can wonder about it, but it still stands. But how would it sound coming from our generals? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, how the Russians would laugh. Go ahead, you be meek, we pound you in the face. You betcha, it'll bless us. We'll bury you. And I thought, oh, how ridiculous that would sound at the 5 o'clock rush hour, that 5 o'clock, punch your card, dash out, jump in your car, and go home. Over a loud speaker coming this voice, blessed are the meek. Find out how meek you are when someone blows their horn at you. How many blew it when a horn blew at you sometime this month? Anybody? Put my hand up on that one, did you? How many sometime this year blew it when someone had blown their horn? Last 2 years. I see a hand. Well, it's up there a little bit. Kind of a little flagger job there. But we see we have trouble believing this. And I more and more am coming to know that the Sermon on the Mount, glory to God, what Jesus has to say, oh, precious Lord, it is so profound. It's so wonderful because you know why? Even though we don't believe it, we have to come to believe it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I think if he visited our multitudes today, he would still say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, this is the very character of Jesus, meekness. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world was even founded for our sins. Meek and lowly of heart. And whether we believe it or not, it still stands. And I don't think many look upon this beatitude with appreciation or with any confidence whatsoever. We want that Old Testament law sometimes. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, don't resist him who is evil. But then whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Can you imagine? Someone in a large, crowded room, let's say in the dining area downstairs when there's 500 and 600 people at dinner time. And someone comes up and confronts you and slaps you. And everybody stops. And you just turn the other cheek. You pick up all the trays. You walk out. Do you think that's going to make a picture? It does something. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. It does something. It helps people to realize where we really are at. Some 12 years ago when we were in the suburbs, I had ministered 9 hours of ministry on suffering. It was never received. Jesus taught it, but it never was received. Now it's coming to pass that our faith will be tested and it's going to cause a reaction. And so here I go, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, Jesus preached it, so I believe it's so. So let's go into the Word and see who received this. Paul as an example. Of course, he wasn't a coward, he wasn't a weakling, he was admired for his strength. He said something like this, we Christians are not cowards. He also rejoiced in the Bible that God had not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and of love and of a strong mind. And so he didn't want his friends to seek after a cheap and sissy, let's call it, virtue. One day he writes a letter to Timothy and he says something like this. He says something, his own son in faith. And here, Timothy was sickly, you know, timid and, let's say, retiring. And yet Paul urges this Timothy, this timid, retiring Timothy, to follow after meekness. I remember when I received this message from the Lord for myself, sort of a demonstrative personality, sort of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and type of a fella. When I received it some years back, and the Lord started to chasten me in my spirit, that I needed to seek after his likeness, to be meek. And I thought, is there something we don't know about meekness? Have we missed it? Why is Jesus preaching this Sermon from the Mount? Is there something we've missed? But one other time he writes to the converts, Paul does, and he tells them, dress up in a fashion becoming the sons and daughters of the King. Dress up, he is saying, enhance your charm and usefulness. And what were they to wear? Put on, he says, meekness. No, not a phony type of meekness, not a sneaky kind, not a weirdo type. Put on meekness. Now think about someone with pride. Maybe it'll be you, I don't know. Strutting, like the world says, strutting their stuff. And they come into the feast and they say, oh, there's first place. And they just strut right up there to the front of the table and they plop down there. Isn't that disgusting? Isn't that obnoxious? Isn't that laughable? But then someone clothed in meekness, someone that's genuine, someone that's pleasing, someone that's respected. Not a phony, not a homemade meekness, looking for appreciation. I'm not talking about that kind of meekness. But it was Paul's conviction that one clothed in this fashion would be equipped both for this life, that is now I'm talking about, and for the life beyond. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And here is a man that crucified Christians, hacked them up, murdered them, and he learned how to put on meekness. And again, Paul writes in the Bible to the Galatians about some of the followers God will plant in the, it's these flowers that he'll plant in the soul's garden, let's say. And he says, put on meekness. He calls it the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love, it says, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness. What a bouquet of flowers. And so meekness then is the fruit, let's call it, of the Spirit. It's so priceless that all the flesh and all that it could pay could never buy it or produce it. Your flesh will never understand it. Your flesh will never be able to comprehend it. It must come to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's something that's put in and then drawn out by the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit of God. And so Christ, like Paul, knew this secret. Meekness is not a liability, but it is an asset. Something that we should really have. And you know what? It works. He's speaking about spiritual things here. He's not talking about the natural. You wouldn't understand it in the natural. The spiritual part of you has to have a comprehension, an understanding, an inward growing. The Bible says to worship God, we must do it in the Spirit and in truth. And so the natural man, it says, does not love God. It says that the natural man hates God, is at enmity with God. And even ourselves, when we're in the natural, in our flesh, the Bible says the flesh, the natural man, hates, is at enmity with God. The physical part of any human being, that flesh part, does not want to obey God. Check it out. Does your flesh war against your spirit and the spirit war against the flesh? Do you find yourselves in debates and arguments with the Spirit of God? That's the flesh part of you arguing? Then there's a conviction that comes on, and then you feel a little bad, and then meekness takes over. That is the spirit of meekness. You have to call on that all the time. You have to be down on your hands and knees and say, "Oh Lord," and call up that spirit of meekness. And that's one thing you have to have down here, working the mission. And I think for the most part, all the people that work in this mission have learned that they must have that spirit of meekness. They're dealing with a lot of flesh, and their flesh can be aroused also, and they can double up their knuckles just like anybody else. They can pop their veins just like anybody else. But anyway, here Peter says, in his first epistle, he says, "Whose adorning let it not be outward, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Even the ornament," listen to this, "even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price." Now he's aware that in the sight of men, meekness fails to look good. It looks worthless. Doesn't it? A lot of times we'll call somebody a wimp if they're meek. I think we often mistake worthful for worthless and worthless for worthful. We call gold tin and tin gold. We count of high value what God despises and despise what He values highly. Antique dealers, there's one up the street up here, and I thought, well, they got it down. You know what? We call it garbage, and we throw it out. And they say, "Look at this dummy threw out." And they put a little paint on it and put it in a window and sell it for $1,500. They sell what we discard for a fortune. And I think in the same way, many pass by the rare and priceless jewel called meekness. There's a young man now that came in, and he's washing dishes in the mission. And he's got that quality of meekness of spirit. It's something that I'm acquainted with. And whatever that you tell him to do, he does it. And the other day he went out on a run and he came in and his dishes were behind. He got down on his hands and knees and crawled underneath the machine and got up on the other side there and started going like crazy. He didn't say anything. He just had that spirit of meekness. Isn't that great? I'm not talking about a fawning type of meekness. I'm not talking about a phony type of meekness. I'm talking about a real fruit of the Spirit meekness. Now, you aren't all going to be the same in that, because then you'd be sitting around smiling like Chessie cats. You know what I mean? Meek. That isn't what it is. I'll get to that, but that is not what I'm talking about. See, only a few realize its value and seek to possess it. Oh, they like that person, but I can't be like that. I tell people when they need telling, I tell them, that kind of spirit. Let's look at Moses, who was one of the meekest. He was one, I said, of the very meekest. Well, here he is, a great man. And even before he got that quality, he killed an Egyptian. And I think in the New Testament, as we look at Jesus, supreme example. When he entered Jerusalem, he entered in meekness, not on a white stallion, with an army behind and drums and trumpets and flutes, tra-la. No, it says he came on a colt of an ass. A colt of an ass. His feet were dragging on the ground. Poor in spirit, mourning for others, meek and lowly at heart, it says. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, beseeches them by the gentleness and meekness of Jesus Then Jesus himself calls our attention to this possession of this great virtue. Well, is he talking about his wisdom or his knowledge or his healings or his power or his speaking? No. He says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." There is a mystery here, folks. And when the Spirit of God gives us that spirit of meekness and that spirit of mourning and that spirit of being a peacemaker and that Sermon on a Mount becomes alive through suffering, something's going to happen in the body of Christ. So he calls our attention to his one outstanding characteristics. Calls our attention to this one great virtue. And he wants us to imitate this one. So we conclude this meekness as being a virtue of real worth. Can we not do that? Realize what we're speaking about here tonight? If we can become meek at heart, it says we will inherit the earth. What's that talking about? Take possession of it. I think whatever makes us more like Jesus for sure is good, don't you? Isn't that what we're trying to be like? More like Jesus? Do you think right now when people are watching TV and they're watching different things going on and we're looking at Ethiopia over there and we could actually, the church, the body of Christ, could actually feed all them people over there? Do you think that we have the right spirit? I say we can't judge one another. I say, do you think we have the right spirit? Jesus says, only believe, break the bread, feed the multitudes. In other words, take the first step. A person asked me in this questioning last night, well, now how did you start this mission? I says, I started out with one bag. We believe God for one bag of groceries. Now it's 12,000 a month go out of here. Through the street ministry, through this ministry, 12,000 bags. Jesus said, now here's meekness. Jesus said, these things that you see me do, you will do, and even greater things will you do. Now this is God speaking. This is meekness speaking. This is the non-competitive spirit speaking. God is saying, my children. You want your children to do better than you do? I do. So does your heavenly Father. He's saying, as the body of Christ, I'll be the head, you be the body, and that body of Christ, these things that you see me do whilst I'm here. If you'll be the body, if you'll be the arms and the legs and the extension of what I'm preaching, these things that you see me do, you will do, and even greater things you'll do. And you can do it in the spirit of meekness. And that's the only way you can do it. Well, let's try to find out tonight what meekness really is. I think it's kind of hard to define. It's become old-fashioned. It's become obsolete. To most, it has no meaning at all. To some, a faulty meaning. To them, it means spineless. That is not what meekness is. A man on tiptoe saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. No, it isn't that way at all, friend. It's not the sweet temper, sickening type of person. I'm not talking about that. Someone that never gets mad, never gets angry. I'm not talking about that kind of person either. Always bowing down and bowing out, not that type. You think it's a person who never stands on any question. That is definitely wrong. Or never gets in anybody's way. That is wrong. This is a long, long way from the truth. Moses got white hot. Didn't he? And so meekness is more than just being good-natured and a long way from weakness. It is then strength grown tender. It's the Moseses and the Pauls and the Davids and the Samsons and the Elijahs. All those spirited men, God Himself coming to earth with all that power held in check. Could have called on legions of angels. Could have said, cancel this thing out. But meekness held it in check. That's the kind of meekness I'm talking about. Quiet power. Meekness that doesn't have to prove itself. A strength, I said, that has grown tender. Meekness and gentleness throughout the Bible are used together often. It says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, patient, apt to teach in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, and put them in mind that they be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. We're talking about powerful men of God and women of God. Giants in the faith, if you will, that put on the spirit of meekness for all men, be no respecter of persons. The banker or the lawyer or the person in the gutter, you don't respect one over another. They're all the same in the sight of God. Not only will you be able to appreciate that when you take on the characteristics of Jesus and you pray for that fruit, that fruit spirit, meekness. Put on meekness. Put on Jesus, it's saying. And so meek people become gentle people. Meek men, I'm saying, are gentlemen. What a lesson to learn. How hard it is when we start out on our road towards meekness and growing in meekness. Now, I must say this, you listening on the radio and you here tonight here. Remember, this is not a man who becomes gentle in the social sense. I'm not talking about that. Or a person who is gentle probably from birth. There are people that are more gentle than others. What I'm talking about, one who has some of the gentleness and meekness of Jesus, born of the Spirit. The highest type of a gentle person. And so the Christian gentleman, the one with gentleness, meekness, is considerate of others, kind-hearted, willing to die for a friend. Well, what does that mean? No greater love for the man than he would die for a friend, give his life for a friend. Is your life having one glass of booze and your friend is an alcoholic? But it's only one glass. I do it in moderation. Well, it isn't going to send your soul to hell, but will you give that up for your friend over here? That's your life, that one glass of booze. It's only one glass. Let him do it. No, meekness says, I'll put that away because it might make my brother stumble. Are you getting the gist of what I'm saying here?
There you have it. That was episode 275, part 1 of Mount 4. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command.
women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, may be the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.